And we return for another episode of the Slackerwood Podcast. I am Chris Holland, and with me is Jet Kernion. Say hi, Jet.
Hi. We're on the phone, so we're missing each other's visual cues. So if we step on each other's lines, you'll just have to live with it.
Yes. Well, for the second time in Slackerwood's history, I am recording outside. Also joining us, Jennifer Brown.
Hello.
Outside because the cell signal is better out here.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. Anyway, so now that our voices all sound good and fuzzy, what's going on? It's been what, a week, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been about
2 weeks. I personally have been to Atlanta and Boston since we last spoke for some festivals. What about you guys?
And I have not been to any film festivals at all.
We got to get you out of town, Jet.
I know. I want to go to Cinevegas. This has nothing to do with Austin, but now you all know I want to go to Cinevegas. So.
I think you should start planning now.
Yes. I'll have to start saving and scrimping.
And when is Cinevegas?
I think this is vaguely Austin related. Cinevegas is a great festival to get away to, number one, because flights to it are relatively cheap from Austin, and it's Vegas. I mean, hotels are generally pretty cheap, even if you don't stay in the Palms, which is where Cinevegas takes place. You can find, you know, a place not too far away that's pretty cheap, and it's a great festival. You know, it all takes place in one Cineplex inside the Palms Casino. And it's a little like Fantastic Fest that way, in that you can just sort of stay in one place and do your thing and enjoy films without, well, not without distraction to some extent. Anyway, end of ad for Cinevegas.
I know there are some Austin films there, too, which we should be writing about, and maybe we will soon.
See, that's one of the things about Cine Las Americas, which I'm covering right now here in Austin, is all the theaters are all across town. So it's pretty much pick a theater and try to catch a couple things there. You're not going to be able to get across town to get to something else.
Which theaters are they using?
The Regal Metro, and for the first few days they were using the Mexican American Culture Center downtown.
Mm-hmm.
They started at the Paramount. They're going to end at the Alamo South Lamar, and starting today they've got screenings going on through the end on Thursday up at the Village.
Wow.
Well, that's just a melting pot of venues, isn't it?
It is.
They were showing Trap House at the...
to go. There's something somewhere near you. You just can't get to all of them.
Yeah. I think they were showing Santos at the Ritz, too. I mean, they are all
They're
around
doing that. Oh, that's right. The Santos is screening tonight. The one screening at the Ritz is tonight.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's already over.
Yes, which is already over.
Which Santos film was that?
That's the one from Fantastic Fest with the what Nicolas Lopez directed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That Elizabeth Avellan produced.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so let's talk about the big news in Austin, other than, you know, what film festivals I'm not going to, exciting as that may be. And the big news is, of course, that the film incentives bill passed and was even signed by Governor Perry last week.
Woo.
So, yay!
House bill, whatever it was.
HB 873.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I tried to look it up on Slackerwood, and I was on the wrong page, so that's very helpful. And there is plenty of details on Slackerwood.com about House Bill 873. So we have better incentives now. Everybody is joking that, ha-ha, all the Louisiana films will come here. And now the only thing left is to fund it.
Right.
Well, I think they've
got
some funding set, but they're going for additional funding on top of, I think, the $20 million they originally had set.
Okay.
And they're just now getting the committee together to deal with the extra budget that they want to put on. So there's the txmpa.org site is pretty good on keeping up with information on that, and they should have something up in the next few days as that information becomes available.
Yeah. They're really, if you check out their site, they also have a Twitter feed, and they're up on everything.
So just for the sake of...
faster from their email than their Twitter feed.
Just for the sake of argument, does anybody know whether those incentives are actually any better than Louisiana's?
That's an excellent question that I could not tell you right now, but I am noticing that there's a lot of that on the web. I pulled up the TXMPA site, and they probably have it on there.
Yeah, because, I mean, you can talk all you want, but if the incentives are actually still better on that side of the border, you know, we can probably expect more film activity here, but maybe not as much as we'd like. And I know some state, maybe Mississippi, or there's some crazy state that has 30% incentives. It's freaking insane.
That's not New Mexico, is it?
It might be. At any rate, I mean, there are definitely states out there that have higher incentives than, I believe, Texas is a sliding scale. Like, if your budget's under $1 million, you get roughly 5%, and then it goes up to about 15% from there with the chance for additional matching funds if you meet certain criteria. It's pretty complicated stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
And then I've added in more. There's more information about if you're shooting in a less an economically challenged area, the amount of incentives goes up. And it's also, with this particular law, it includes all moving image industry. So it's not just film, it includes gaming and interactive as well.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, you know, maybe we should get somebody from the Texas Film Commission to join us on our next podcast and walk us through some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and I can think of a couple people we can talk to. So,
okay. I can think of a couple of people who are going to be spending the weekend at a certain film festival I could name that I could definitely talk to as well.
Okay, good. Persuade them.
I will. Okay, so Texas film incentives. We have some now. That is a good thing.
Yes.
What's next?
On a completely different note here, while Tribeca is going on and all eyes are on Robert De Niro's film festival, we got Harry Ransom Center has gotten a bunch of stuff donated from him here in Austin, not in New York. Ha ha. I'm sorry, I had to be a little superior there. And HRC has just started putting some of that out on display at in public. It's free. You can go down there right now, I believe, through May 3rd. And, well, not right now if it's the middle of the night, but you can go down to HRC and check out all kinds of interesting things from Taxi Driver and a few other of his movies.
Like his Mohawk?
I think his underwear from Meet the Fockers is there. Now, isn't that exciting?
Wow.
Also his taxi license from Taxi Driver.
Now, okay, I have to bring this up because that's who I am. But he was on Sesame Street in the last couple of years. He did a little bit with Elmo. I wonder where he was. Go ahead.
Where he was a cabbage, isn't that right?
Yes. So he was showing Elmo what an actor does. And he would say to Elmo, oh, an actor, you know, pretends to be something he's not. And, you know, Elmo would say, like what? And he'd say, well, I could pretend to be, you know, a taxi driver in New York. I could pretend to be an overweight boxer. Or I could pretend to be a cabbage. And Elmo says, oh, do the cabbage, you know. And the camera would cut away and cut back. And, you know, De Niro's voice would be coming out of a Muppet cabbage.
Yes.
And, you know, he would then name two more of his famous roles, and or I could play a dog. Oh, do the dog. And, of course, you know.
I am looking at the HRC site, and they say it's his career through 2005, which may be pre-Sesame Street.
Oh, so the Muppet Cabbage from Sesame Street probably isn't there.
No, I don't see anything about the Muppet Cabbage. There's stuff from Raging Bull and Frankenstein and Greetings and no cabbage, as far as I can tell.
Oh, well, then I categorically refuse to go, then.
So, yeah, Harry Ransom Center on the UT campus, it's free. They will display a selection of items through Sunday, May 3rd. So if you don't have anything to do this weekend, go there.
Now, this is stuff that he donated that they'll keep on file, I guess, and then...
Yeah, he donated a collection. He donated a collection 2 years ago. It has been appraised at more than $5 million. They have just finished organizing it. And if you're researching or doing a paper on him or something, you can go in there and see all the cool stuff. So,
yeah. Huh.
You know.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, so all of us in Austin will now be writing papers on Robert De Niro.
Whatever. On the importance of cabbage.
Yes.
Moving on. What's next, guys?
Let's move on to let's move on to Cine Las Americas, because Jen has been there all week. And how many films did you say you saw? 23?
I've seen 28. Including shorts.
28. Well, okay, I thought it was 28 features, or okay.
Not features. No, that includes all of them. I haven't split it between the features and the shorts because my brain is kind of melted.
So you've probably seen half a dozen to a dozen features?
Yeah. I mean, I had 7 screenings on Saturday, which is my personal record, but 2 of those screenings were reels of shorts, so that accounts for a lot of them. But a lot, when the shorter features, they're showing shorts in front of them, so they're really getting the shorts mixed in with the feature screenings, which makes it harder when I'm trying to keep track of all these things.
Yeah.
But it's been pretty good. It's been a very diverse program. Cine Las Americas has been around for 12 years, and their focus is on film that relates to Latino culture of all sorts, and Hispanic culture, Spanish culture as well. They've got films from 18 countries, I believe.
Wow.
And one of the films was even, I can't remember which one, but one of the films even had part of the production that was done in South Korea, which I keep meaning to look up and keep forgetting to do. But the program's been very good. There's been a lot of very strong features, the documentary feature, narrative features. I haven't seen too many of the documentary features just because most of them are playing at a theater other than the Regal Metropolitan, and that's where I've been staying to see the films for the most part. But some of the films that I saw that were just really outstanding is one was the English, just because I'm going to butcher the Spanish, the English title is 5 Days Without Nora, about a Jewish Mexican family in Mexico where the grandmother dies and she prepared for her death, and all the family ends up coming over and they're trying to make funeral arrangements and there's problems with that. And it's a very lighthearted drama about this family with lots of great comedic moments, like fighting over Jewish laws. You're basically buried clean. You don't wear makeup. And you have to be buried in a certain amount of time. And the very Catholic housekeeper and cook keeps going in and puts a cross on the woman and tries to put makeup on her. And apparently the story is loosely based on the director's personal experience. Her grandmother had taken her own life, and some of the elements of it were based on how her family dealt with it. And it has the stamp of approval of her grandfather. And I'm hoping to hear some news about North American release, but right now it's only getting limited release in Mexico.
That's too bad, because I read your description of that, and I thought it sounded great. I really would like to see that myself.
It was fun. It was it was not sold out, but it was fairly packed audience.
Oh, cool.
Which was nice to see, because I don't think enough people know that this is out there, and there's a great diversity of films, no matter what your taste. I mean, they've had some real cult classic horror like Sangre Eterna, Eternal Blood, which is kind of about vampires, but it's also kind of a mind mess of what's reality and what's delusion that keeps flirting with greatness and just kept putting too much in there to actually have it be fantastic. But it would have played very well with a Fantastic Fest crowd.
Yeah, I noticed that it looked like there were a lot of horror and culty kind of movies in there that look like they would be right at home at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, definitely.
Or with that crowd. So.
And of course, documentary-wise, we also have The Least of These, which screened at South by Southwest. Got a couple of screenings at Cine Las Americas. And I don't know how well they were attended just because they were at the MAC and I wasn't in that area. They're just too far away. And that's in a little awkward little spot that's not convenient unless you know where it is. So I didn't actually show up there.
Oh. But it sounds like Regal Metropolitan's been hopping.
It has been. I think they had a lighter program today, and then tomorrow they're starting at 2 o'clock again and going straight through midnight. So it's definitely worth checking out.
What did I have that kind of stamina?
I had it for one day. I had it for one day, and then I couldn't do anything on Sunday because it just knocked me out. But most of it was really worth staying for, and I would have regretted seeing Sangre Eterna. It's the second film of that director, and it definitely shows promise. I didn't have the energy to go last night to see his second feature that was playing called Solos.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping to hear some news from people who saw it because it looked like it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get another chance to see some of these films because they've just...
Me too.
Yeah. So, and Jen has been writing about them all on Slackerwood, so you should go read that if you haven't yet. And the other film festival, which is not strictly speaking in Austin, but it's close enough and a lot of people are going there, is MARFA, which is where Chris is going this weekend.
Yes, indeed.
And we're all very envious.
It's only a 6.5-hour drive.
Only.
I don't know, the way I drive, that's probably 8, but
yeah. Well, this is Martha's second year. I was there last year and was just blown away not only by the programming, but also just by the town and just the vibe and the kind of on vacation feeling that I got that I don't ever get from film festivals. You know, I'm always very on. It's a lot of business. And Martha, you know, your cell phone doesn't work half the time, and some places have internet, but most don't. And I don't know. I think it also has to do with the fact that there's just the one venue. So
yeah.
Everybody sees pretty much all the same movies. And it's a very laid-back community kind of thing. A lot of the Texas film community shows up, or at least they did last year, folks from the Film Commission and folks from various festivals around the state, and a lot of filmmaker types and people from the Austin Film Society, and it's just a really nice time. And Martha, of course, is a kind of a hippy-dippy town with lots of artistic roots, and you know, there aren't really addresses on anything. You kind of have to follow where everybody else in town is going to find things. It's very odd, but completely enjoyable, and I'm looking forward to going back. They are playing some movies, including...
that was my next question. Yeah. I was like, what are they showing?
They are going to be playing some movies. They're playing The Last Picture Show, I believe. They're playing some McMurtry stuff. They're playing American Astronaut, which is a catalog title. It's not something new. It's a Western space musical by a guy named Corey McAbee. Now, the weird thing is that...
A Western space musical.
The weird thing is that Corey McAbee has another Western space musical on the festival circuit right now called Stingray Sam, which is sort of a follow-up to American Astronaut, but they're not showing Stingray Sam. They're showing American Astronaut, so I'm not sure what the logic is behind that, but I'll be interested to see American Astronaut, you know, on the big screen since I've only ever seen it on DVD. That is if I can stay away because it's at midnight and I'm sure it's outside in the freezing cold. That's the thing about Martha. It's like 85 during the day and it gets down to 45 at night because it's in the desert. It'll be fun. Anyway, then they have a lot of typical festival titles. Also, they have some, like Herb and Dorothy has been playing the circuit.
I want to see that.
And, you know, some other things that are playing the festival circuit, but also some Texas premieres and some just odd little choices, things I haven't really seen a whole lot. So I'm looking forward to checking out some different stuff this time around. Cool. And I really don't want to say too much more than that, because I think it's the kind of thing people should just come out and, even if it's just for a day, the screening, like the one-day passes are completely reasonable. It's like $40 or $60.
Mm-hmm.
You can just come out and take in some movies and then, you know, drive home the next day or whatever. So if you have nothing to do this coming weekend, I definitely suggest the longest drive out to Marfa and back to take in a cool town and some cool movies.
Yeah,
you can find that festival at marfafilmfestival.com. I kind of feel weird about giving out websites anymore because I feel like people can just Google what they want to.
Yeah, I just Googled it while you were talking about it. I was like, what's playing?
Yeah.
So, and I was like, ooh, Red Shoes, which, you know, I could see on DVD, but I would love to see with other people. So.
Yeah. I should mention that Larry McMurtry is actually going to be there.
Oh, cool.
Which is very unusual for him. He, of course, wrote Lonesome Dove and, you know, half a gazillion other classic, you know, things. So, but it's very unusual. He's doing a benefit dinner for the festival and going to be presenting a screening, and it's just very, very different for him. So I'm excited about that. I don't know if I'm excited enough to spend $100 on the dinner, but you never know. We'll see. We'll see how rich I'm feeling when I get there.
Do they actually? I thought I heard last year they were having to put people up in tents or something, that they don't have a lot.
Well, there's not a lot in the way of lodging in Marfa, so people left things to the last minute, and yeah, one enterprising young woman started a tent city. It's on a campground anyway, kind of on the edge of town, so it's, you know, it's not like it was a purpose that had never been put to or anything, but they invested in some tents and some sleeping bags and some air mattresses and just put up a bunch of tents and said, you know, for $30 a night, you can crash here. And it ended up being kind of the social hub of the festival, if anything could be said to be the social hub of the festival, because there was no central lodging, people were kind of all over the place. But it's a great time, and I don't think anyone would mind sleeping in a tent, you know, under those conditions.
No. Maybe somebody could do that for South By next year.
Now, that said, I did book my actual hotel rooms well ahead of time.
Okay.
I personally will not be sleeping in a tent this time.
All right. Well, let's move on. And talk real quick before we wrap this up about some things going on in Austin this in the next week that we really want to see or that we want to urge everyone to go see. So, should I start? Does anybody else have anything? Because, you know, I'll talk about this for 20 minutes if I'm not stopped.
I, you know what? I'll start. I saw that the Paramount has issued its full roster of the Summer Classic series.
Yeah.
That's up on their website. So I was excited about that because I don't make it every weekend, but I certainly do catch a couple of shows a year. So Google Paramount and find out what they're playing that you might want to see.
Actually, there is an article on Slackerwood, so you could just go right there and there's a link for
that.
You.
Go to Slackerwood.com and read up on all the things you want to see at the Paramount.
Because you'll get a whole lot more hits than just the Paramount Theater in Austin when you Google Paramount.
That's true.
But Jen, got anything?
Well, there is a screening at Austin Film through the Austin Film Society at the Dolby for Not Forgotten, which is a drama starring Simon Baker and Paz Vega, which was filmed within Texas, and I believe some of the cast and crew are actually from the Austin area, but I don't have any details on that. But if you have a membership in the Austin Film Society, you can get in for free. So go to austinfilm.org for specifics on that. And at one screening, the producer is going to be there as well as the director.
Great. Yeah, I think it's playing at Dolby all week. So, but those, going for free is, you know, you can't beat free. So, my thing that I was going to tell you is that starting Friday, Alamo is selling tickets for Alex Cox coming in town later this month. He's going to be There are several events that he will be at, including a screening of Repo Man, and I really want to see Repo Man in a theater because I never have.
Oh, I haven't. I did see that in the theater the first time it came out, when it first came out.
Oh, you're lucky. So, and while I was looking at Alamo, I also noticed that Weird Wednesday later this month is showing Coffee, the Pam Grier film, on May 20th. And that may be one of those days where I have to, you know, just go to work without a lot of sleep next time. Because I would love to see this as Weird Wednesday.
Just call in sick. We won't tell.
Yeah. No.
You're just going to be late. Couple hours late, plan it in advance, you've got some appointment, and the appointment's your bed.
That's right. I have an appointment now that everybody who I work with knows where I will be that day.
You have a sleep study appointment.
Right.
That's right. I will be studying sleep.
That's right.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else I wanted to note really fast. Monday the 4th, Alamo is this? Ritz is showing Rock and Roll High School. With Clint Howard there at 10 o'clock. So, yeah. So,
the ice cream man himself?
What?
The ice cream man himself?
Yes, Clint Howard.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that guy was the go-to guy for sort of nerdy type, hunched over the NASA mission control desk for a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Including his brother's movie.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of those.
And Austin Powers.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was mission control guy for Austin Powers. All right. We've wasted enough time.
Wait,
let's find out.
Last one I have to tell everybody about, which is that Alamo is really showing Star Trek II.
Right?
I mean, they're not pretending to show it. So...
Right.
Or that's what they say. Well, there's something purporting to be Star Trek II on May 6th, and you can go and see what it really is or not.
Okay,
And that's all I have.
All right. Jen, are you done?
I'm done.
Okay, I think that wraps it up for this episode of the Slackerwood Podcast. My name is Chris Holland.
I'm Jet Kernion.
And I'm Jen Brown.
See you next time.